Look, we have the oil company's own memos. In fact, Paul has really researched these and written several articles about it. Paul, tell George about the details of these oil company memos.
Yeah, all right. Let's hear this, Paul.
Well, that's right. It's a story that broke today. There was new information released by the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, whereby Mobil, Chevron, and Texaco internal confidential memos outline a deliberate agenda to create artificial scarcity.
Now, when was the scarcity supposed to occur? Now, or was this an old memo for years gone back? What was the time period?
This was 96. We're talking mid-90s, right, where this idea is introduced.
And this is a strategic plan. You can read all these at PrisonPlanet.com. There's a link at CoastToCoastAM.com. Folks, they say it's a strategic long-term plan to more than quadruple profits, which we've now seen them make more money in the last 2 years than they made in the previous 10. And again, we're not against making money, but if it's not free market, if it's cartel, crony, oligopoly, monopoly, and by the way, this is oil companies, they communicate with each other through this foundation, and so they're all colluding together to create a monopoly, and so this is a strategic strategy to do this across the board and literally rape us, and I'm just surprised the LA Times reported on it.
All right, let's get back into the memos, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, it strikes at the very heart of what we're trying to communicate, because even before the memos were released, we had the example of Bakersfield, California. The record amount of profits that oil refinery was producing, and yet to the absolute disbelief of corporation watchers and organizations like that, Shell decided to forego the astronomical profit and attempted to close the plant. It was eventually sold to a smaller diesel company after an FTC probe, which is basically a paper tiger, but Shell did end up having to find another buyer. And also in Martinez, California, again, a Royal Dutch Shell-owned facility, wildly profitable, but Shell cut the production by 10%, according to them, due to maintenance, which they carried out at the peak energy demand time. So again, inexplicable reasons for shutting down these plants at times when especially California is really craving energy supplies. So
why isn't anybody cracking down on them?
Well, because there's no bigger lobby than energy, and the energy companies own the defense contractors, own the big drug companies. The drugs are predominantly made out of petrochemicals. Petrochemicals make the computer, make the glass you've got in your hand, make the plastic fish tank. They make the shoes you wear, the shirts you wear. I mean, literally, there's nothing bigger in these memos. And I spent hours today reading these, George. I mean, it's made me really mad.
And 40 years ago, Alex, I remember I'm in grade school, and I remember reading about energy, and they were talking about how we will lose oil in the next 40 or 50 years. So I'm saying to myself, God, George, when you're 50, there won't be any more oil. And here we are. It's still flowing.
Well, that's right. And again, we go back to the 50s. These guys are in power because of their strategic long-term planning and propaganda. It's that feudalist model. And I'm here looking and reading where they're saying we've got to create artificial scarcity. The very thing, look, 3.5 years ago, Greg Palast, top BBC Newsnight investigative journalist, got 2,000 plus pages from the World Bank. Joseph Stiglitz, the chief economist, quit, went public, and in those documents, it talks about creating artificial oil shortages. It talks about, they talk about Argentina, where they just shut the water off, and they say if we shut it off for a week, that'll cause riots, and then our client government can declare martial law, and then we can really take the country over, and people, then if we triple the water price, then they'll accept a doubling if we lower it. Just what you said last
just
hour.
Just what I said. That's right.
Before we got on. Bring it up to $3, $3.50 a gallon, and then you'll accept $2.50. And we actually have, I have them, they're on my website, the secret IMF World Bank documents. I mean, again, this isn't conspiracy theory, people. They are, understand, I mean, put yourselves in their position. They're these old, rich, powerful families, And I mean, David Rockefeller has said over and over again, and so has his father, that competition is bad. You know, these guys are not free market. Look, Henry Kissinger, declassified document 1991, written 1973 for the CIA for the Club of Rome, and Kissinger says, we're going to cut off food, we're going to cut off the water, we're going to sterilize them, and we have all this posted. This is National Security Archive. Paul, tell me about these Club of Rome documents.
Who's them, though? Who's he talking about? Us?
Well, the whole world. Listen, it's not just America. We all get raped at the pump. Can you imagine what this does to farm production and fertilizers in Africa, Asia, and Latin America?
Wipes them out.
Exactly, folks. We have the best economy in the world. We're 4% of the population. We got half the wealth. We've got an average, income of $30,000 a year in this country. You imagine being in Africa where, the average income's about $500 a year? Paul, tell him what the Club of Rome documents say.
Well, yeah, this is key because there was an August 2004 Popular Science article which quoted Club of Rome officials as saying that peak oil would hit in 2003, which it didn't. So it's necessary to know what the Club of Rome is and what they stand for. And basically it reads as a who's who of the elite. David Rockefeller, Avril Harriman, John J. McCloy, all intimate insiders and policy directors of the global elite. So again, we have this top-down elitist embrace of peak oil theories. And it's interesting in relation to that Colonel Fletcher Prouty, this ultimate insider that eventually blew the whistle on a lot of clandestine programs, was a strong proponent of the abiotic oil theory. And he said that the idea of oil as a fossil fuel, non-renewable, was, quote, right out of the Rockefeller Bible,